Welcome back in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are joined today by two amazing artists who are bringing to life a brilliant show, a brilliant story. Joining us today, we have the co-writer Mark Hantoot and the director Mary Duncan, who are part of an upcoming industry read of the show Wesley. It's happening on Wednesday, May 15th at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. at the Jerry Orbach Theater at the Theater Center. And you can get your reservations and more information by emailing wesleythemusical@gmail.com. This is a fabulous story, and it's amazing that it is coming to the stage now. And I think the perfect people who can tell us more about this, of course, are our guests. So let's go ahead and welcome them on. Mark, Mary, welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
Thank you so much for having us with you.
Thank you so much.
I'm so happy that you're both here. I can't wait to dive into this story. Just a little bit I got to read in the press release. I was like, wait, I want to know more. You can't just leave me there with those couple sentences. So Mark, why don't I start with you as one of the co-writers? Can you tell us a little bit about this show?
Yes, well, I could tell you a little bit about how it started, which may be interesting. It was a long time ago when I first was introduced to the memoir, about 10 years. I was at home and I heard my wife reading, didn't hear the reading, but I heard her laughing and then crying and then laughing and crying. And when I said, "What are you reading?" And she told me what it was, I immediately had to read the memoir, look it up and see what it was about. And I had to get the rights. Absolutely had to get the rights. So I contacted Stacy, the author, and we had a chance to meet, and I had a chance to hear her story from her own lips, which was absolutely mind-bending. And, you know, that was sort of the beginning of this journey.
That. Now, can I ask, what is this memoir, this story about?
It is about a young woman in her early 20s who has ambitions to be a musician and is playing in venues around Los Angeles, but who also works during the day for money at the Owl Lab at Caltech, very famous research science institution here in Pasadena. And she is given a newborn owl with wing damage that could never survive in the wild by her boss who runs the Owl Lab. And he says, "We would love for you to just keep this owl for as long as it lives, which is expected to be days, maybe weeks, and then write down everything that it does. Just make notes, take videos, and then when the time comes and the bird is no longer alive, send us everything. We'll just take a look at it." Well, Wesley turned out to live with her for 19 years and became the center of her life, eventually becoming larger in her world than her musical interests, than her social interests in many ways. And the two of them became a tightly bonded pair. She was able to then record and document all of this, showing the world about the level of depth that could exist in a relationship between a human being and an animal, and in this case, a bird. It was absolutely striking to the scientists, striking to the public. People had no idea that this could happen over such a long period of time. And the memoir is full of just the most wonderful stories of pleasure and delight, sensuality, and of course, as in any bonded relationship, times of sadness as well.
That is so amazing.
A bestseller in over 20 nations and New York Times, LA Times. It's a story that people really connect with.
Oh, I love that. Mary, let me ask you and bring you in the conversation. How is it you came upon this piece?
So Mark and I and the composer, Scott, have a very long history together. We go back decades and have worked together for many, many years. And Mark and I were talking about the piece, and as he was working on it, really more with a film orientation, and we started talking more and more about how this could be a stage piece and how that really might be the best venue for it and really kind of be the best way to let the story come out. And my background is very much in that vein and also dealing with music. And so that's where we started bringing it along in that direction. And I think that has given it a life that really does tell the story.
That is fantastic. I love that. Now, at the time of recording, we are just over a week away from this industry read, the first step in many to come here in the future. So,
Yes.
Mary,
I mean,
sticking with you, I would love to know what has it been like developing the piece?
so the piece has been moving, it starts where you're just talking ideas, and then we start moving it more and more into putting it into how does this translate to the stage? How do you start to set up a structure that can incorporate music and movement and everything else? And as you work on a piece, it continues to sort of reveal itself, and you start to realize that the way that it wants to go and how what are the strongest themes. And we've had the good fortune of having Scott, who is not on today, but has really brought these various musical parts of this story to life. And so we have band music that exists with this kind of sciencey Caltech music, owl kind of owlscapes, and other sort of more classic music theater elements also. So it's a show that incorporates a lot of different musical influences.
That is so wonderful. I love this. And I'm glad that you both brought in there that it is a musical. It's not just a play, it is a musical. So that is so wonderful. Now, Mark, coming back to you are the one that has helped write the show. You're one of the co-writers, you're interpreting this work. Is there a message or thought you hope the audiences take away from this piece?
Yes, for sure. And we talk about this a lot, that it's really a story of a kind of very intense intimacy that exists between two souls. And it says a lot about how varied intimacy can be between people and even animals, that folks need to realize that these kinds of relationships come in every imaginable flavor, and that it's critical to be open to where you can find the love in your life, and it may not be standard. Certainly in this case, it isn't, I mean, this was a kind of marriage. I mean, they lived a kind of married life. They were bonded partners. And to understand how complex human feelings are, how much more complex animal feelings are than most people realize. And certainly the Caltech community learned that through Stacy and her work in the memoir. So, I mean, I think that's something that I hope people will take away, just to understand the variety of where love comes from,
I love that idea. I do. I think those are brilliant. Mary, anything that you'd like to add to that?
I think it kind of poses the question of in a relationship what you gain, but in every relationship you gain and you give up. To make a commitment entails sometimes it also entails losing something. And I think that's actually an interesting aspect of the piece, especially because it goes on over so many years.
Yeah. But you make choices. For every commitment you make brings with it a choice. And those are the things that end up defining whether we enjoy the lives we live, and it takes courage. Every choice one makes takes courage. I can't think of any that don't, And so Stacy had to make some very important choices to allow this love into her life. And that's what our show explores. So as Mary is saying, that some of the choices she had to make were not pleasing to other people in her world. But without having made them, there'd be no way for that relationship to have become the what it ultimately did become.
Love that. Well, for my final question for this first part, Mary, I want to start with you, and I'm curious to know who do you hope have access to this show?
So I think in terms of access, It is definitely, although we have an animal very strongly, you know, portrayed in this, it is not a children's themed show because of the nature of this kind of primal intimacy and this relationship. It really, I think it's up to a parent, of course, where they would want to start. You know, some parents are going to feel more comfortable with that. There's nothing that would be shocking and, you know, or anything like that to children, but it's not a children's show. It really does focus, and I think it is more for, you know, a grown-up audience.
And then, Mark, anything you'd like to add regarding who you hope have access to this piece?
Gosh, you know, I like to think of it as anybody who has a curiosity or an interest in what it means to have a serious relationship in your life, you know, and what the course of that relationship is going to be like, and what you get from it, what you give to it. And I think anyone who wants to sort of see an unusual exploration of this kind of thing, I think would potentially enjoy what the story we're trying to tell here.
The second part of our interviews, we love giving our listeners a chance to get to know our guests a little bit more. Pull the curtain back, if you will. And I would love to start with our regular first question, which of course is what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites? And Mary, could I start with you on that, please?
Well, I love music of all kinds. And, you know, I've been around a lot of opera. I grew up on musicals. I continued to work on new music, new contemporary music with composers and the creation of new works. I love the collaborative nature of music. And so I have a very kind of a broad musical palette, I guess. It's for me, I'm very happy with lots of different types of music, from early music up to very contemporary, thorny music. I have a soft spot in my heart for all the different phases of musical theater also.
I am living for that. Oh, you come sit by me. We will have a party. That is my kind of jam there. Mark, what about you? What or who inspires you?
Well, you know, starting out in sort of a straight theater as I did, I was always completely enthralled by sort of well, absurdist theater, or theater that tried to do more unusual things. And there's a playwright by the name of Derrida who wrote The Visit, and the physicists, who, I mean, it's a little, I think for many folks, it'd be someone they hadn't heard of, but it was in the same vein as Ionesco and the rhinoceros, these stories that sort of often use metaphor to talk about the larger human experience. And they're usually comedies, you know, that try to look at the world through a somewhat absurdist lens. So I started really being inspired by those shows. And, you know, being from Staten Island and living in New York, I was exposed to the musical stage. And I'm a lover of the old style musicals. You know, I love Lerner and Loewe. Pretty much everything Sondheim you throw my way, I can repeat the lyrics to. But I think really almost every form of musical theater is just striking. And I love it. And, you know, Marion and Scott and I have worked on a number of musicals together in the past, musical plays in some cases, using all sorts of idioms, you know, jazz, sort of classical music. We did a show that had a string quartet on stage playing original music and reacting to the cast members. So the string quartet was a character. We did that off Broadway. And, you know, I've never met an unusual story I didn't love. And so Wesley fits right in.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
I'm going to have to steal that. I've never met an unusual story I didn't love. That is a great tagline. Go see theater. Why? Because I've never seen an unusual story I didn't love. That's That's a wonderful list, both of you. That's fantastic. Now, I'm curious to know, with both of your lasting impacts in the theater, what is your favorite part about working in the theater? And Mark, do you mind if I start with you first on that?
Oh, I tell you, it's the interpersonal part for me. You know, the opportunity to work with other folks who love the theater, it's the best cult in the world, you know, and I couldn't feel more honored to be a part of that in any way I can be. You know, my closest friendships grow out of the theater, including Scott and Mary. The smell of being in a theater is the most intoxicating scent in the world for me. And my fondest memories are pretty much all relate to shows in one way or another. Some of them tumultuous, some of them a little bit victorious occasionally, you know.
That is a beautiful thought, though. I love that. Mary, what about you? What is your favorite part about working in the theater?
Definitely the collaborative aspect of it. It is collaborative from working on a new piece, working on existing pieces. I love rehearsal. I just love being in a rehearsal. I love hearing what actors and singers bring to the piece once they are involved and how that starts to unfold. I love working with designers. There's so many wonderful creative people and they bring such an amazing point of view to the theater. And I will also say that one of my favorite, this is just a little bit of an idiosyncratic thing, but I love being in rehearsal when it's during lighting, and you've got the set on stage, and you're working with the lighting designer, and you're sitting there, and there's something that almost feels it's almost spiritual in a weird way, just to have that moment. But I truly love being in rehearsal. It's a great thing.
I love that answer as well. That's a brilliant answer. And I want to snowball off of those answers now and ask my favorite question, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
Well, Mary and I share a memory which is very small but felt very huge at the time. Mary, do you want to?
Well, we were working on a musical. It was done on Theater Row. This was a while ago. And we were moving a piano in, and there were instruments. Everybody else was having no problem, moving in, but there was a piano coming in, and it needed to go up into this sort of loft area that was maybe, 8 feet off the ground, 6 feet, something like that. And the movers decided that this was absolutely not going to happen, and they took off with the piano. And we were trying to negotiate getting the piano back and trying to figure out how to get this going. And Mark, you can elaborate on this.
This was just before we opened. Well, how many days before opening was this, Mary?
Very, very close to before we opened.
A day or two.
Yeah,
And
it was close.
we had to engage in unusual tactics to finally arrange to have the piano brought to where it needed to be, or we weren't going to have a show. So it's one of those micro moments, you know, for anyone that's ever been involved in a theatrical production, where suddenly the whole thing is at risk because of something like this. And you're saying, I don't know if we can open. We're not going to have a piano. We have to change the set the day before we open. Who knows? And
And
I
it
think
all worked out.
did we have some mafia involvement? I don't remember, but it got pretty thorny. It got pretty thorny, but it worked. And again, that's the magic of theater, right? I mean, we made it happen. We negotiated and fought and argued, and we opened right on time. And the first performance was just fine, thank God.
Wow. What a memory. I see, this is what I'm talking about. I wish I could be a fly on the wall just to hear that conversation of that is amazing though. Thank you both for that memory. Wow. Well, as we wrap things up, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming down the pipeline we might be able to plug for you?
We have a number of things that are kind of in the early discussion parts that the three of us are talking about for the future. We've got a couple of other ideas that, we're starting to bat around, for down the road. And I'm in and out of rehearsal a lot because I'm down at Peabody Conservatory, and so I direct down here a lot. I'm going to be directing in Prague this summer. And so different, lots of different things, both contemporary and, more classical.
Fantastic. Mark, anything for you?
Well, as Mary mentioned, there's a bunch of projects that we're working on that are in the early development stages. I'm in Los Angeles, have been working in movies most recently, and we had a film premiere at the Venice Film Festival last year, competition, and we produced in collaboration with Leo DiCaprio's company. And that's going to be released this year. It's called The Featherweight. So we're just deciding how the release is going to work. And it's not theater, it's film, but it's a very exciting project about a very famous boxer named Willie Pep, who was the winningest boxer in the history of the sport, but was a featherweight. So most people don't know much about his story, but it was one of those crazy stories, where you get into a plane crash and then get your title back, five wives, the biggest record in the history of boxing. So, and the movie's about his comeback or his attempted comeback. So, and there are some other film projects that are coming out in the next couple of years as well. So,
Wow, I want to know more about this show that you're creating about this boxer. Oh my gosh, you've got me hooked on that already. Well, that leads to my final question. It's a great lead into my final question, which is if our listeners would like more information about Wesley or about either of you, perhaps they'd like to reach out to you, how can they do so?
at this stage, Mary, I don't know if you have any thoughts, but certainly reaching out to Dan is a great way to get to us at this point. He's sort of running point to help us. And we do have an email, which is wesleythemusical@gmail. So we can be reached there with any kind of questions.
Wonderful. Well, Mark, Mary, thank you both so much for stopping by, sharing this incredible work that is getting up on its feet, that is getting ready to take the theater by storm. I'm so excited about this. And I thank you so much today for your time. So appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you
And
so much, Andrew.
thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
It really has. It's great. Thank you.
Thank you. My guests today have been the co-writer Mark Hantoot and the director Mary Duncan, who join us to talk about their new piece, Wesley. It's having an industry read here in New York on Wednesday, May 15th at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. at the Jerry Orbach Theater at the Theater Center. And you can get your reservation as well as more information by emailing wesleythemusical@gmail.com. We also have some other contact information for our guests and the show, which we'll be posting on our episode description as well as on our social media posts. But if you are here in the New York City area and you want to get on the ground floor of this great production, send an email over to wesleythemusical@gmail.com. Reach out regarding a reservation for these two industry reads happening of Wesley on Wednesday, May 15th at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
And keep talking about the theater.
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.